Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. My name is Michael Mosley, and I will be your host today. And joining me, as usual, who is practically part of the team now, Taylor. Taylor, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. I have just a lot of opinions on what we got on our docket here today. I'm excited to talk about some of these stories. We're going to talk about an AEW video game later on that really reminds me of No Mercy. I know that was their plan, but like, it's got me excited for those old days. It's got me a little nostalgic, you know?
Oh, nostalgia is always a good thing on this show because then it gives us something to really talk about. Alrighty, without further ado, let's see what's on our docket for today. Activision sparked some buzz during their second quarter 2022 earning call, saying that new premium content will be coming in 2023. We'll break that quote down if we think there will be a new Call of Duty in 2023 and more. Speaking of Call of Duty, Sony recently commented on Microsoft Activision's Blizzard acquisition deal along with their subscription service like Xbox Game Pass. For pro wrestling fans, some details around AEW Fight Forever has been revealed, including match types, the cover, and more. And in our main topic, WB Montreal has dropped the first 16 minutes of gameplay for Gotham Knights. We'll share our reactions to that, and we're just grateful we're talking about video game and not the upcoming CW series. But in our story of the week, Activision plans to release new premium content for Call of Duty in 2023. During an earnings call, Activision said that, quote, across the Call of Duty ecosystem, the teams are well positioned to support these launches with substantial live operations while also continuing development of new premium content planned for 2023 and beyond, end quote. Keep in mind that back in February, Bloomberg reported that there wouldn't be a new mainline Call of Duty title in 2023, so it seems unlikely that Activision plans to release a whole new game in 2023. Still, the phrase premium content is interesting. This content could be like Zombies Chronicles from Black Ops 3 or something entirely different. And before I ask Taylor for his thoughts on this, we do have some 2022 Call of Duty news to talk about. In the earnings call, it was once again confirmed that Warzone 2 will be released this year. And to nobody's surprise, the company also seems all in on Modern Warfare 2. The publisher actually called the title the most advanced experience in franchise history. Taylor, what are your thoughts on Call of Duty getting premium content in 2023? Do you think there will be a new Call of Duty game in 2023 and Warzone 2 will still be on track for 2022?
So I want to start off with the premium content bit. I think that means either like Zombie Chronicles. There was also, I forget where it originated from, so I'm sorry there, but there was a report or a rumor like a year ago about them doing a standalone zombies game. So while it might not be like a mainline, oh, here's Black Ops, whatever they're going to call it, or whatever it ends up being, I could see them doing like a mini release, you know, for some kind of game just to hold players over. But premium content, it kind of has me like, oh, wait, what? All right, well, at least I don't think it's going to be a new game, though. I don't think we're going to see a new mainline Call of Duty in 2023, which I don't know if I mentioned this before on this podcast. I think it's a fantastic call. I think it's going to help a lot creatively. I think it's going to help the developers a lot, and it will end up making a better product for the players, I believe. What was the last question?
About Call of Duty's Warzone 2 being on track.
That kind of surprises me, because we haven't heard too much about that. You know, we've heard a lot about Modern Warfare 2, including, we don't have this here in the write-up here, but a bunch of LA Rams players have been accidentally leaking it over the past day or so. So that's been nice. Hilarious. But Warzone 2, man, I don't know. I think it was just me. I was like, well, Warzone came out a few months after Modern Warfare, and it came out the next year, like in springtime. Maybe they might do that with Warzone 2 as well, but it's very interesting that it's also coming out this year, according to Activision. What's your take on all this, man?
So with the premium content for 2023, I think it has more to do with Warzone than a new game. I think for them, premium content is stuff we can sell. And if anything, Warzone 1 has shown us that players are willing to do Fortnite / PUBG style crossovers with Call of Duty. So maybe their premium content is more stuff like, we're going to bring in old stuff from zombies and add it into Warzone as a premium content. Kind of like what they used to do back in the day when they did those map packs.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe it's more like...
Were they season pass? No, I don't think they had it season passes yet. But map packs is what they're actually called.
Yeah. Activision never did the whole buy season 1 pass. And it was always, we got map packs. It has like 3 or 4 maps or whatever. And maybe premium content also means bringing in more old school game modes that used to be in the game. Because like you said, we don't know anything about Warzone yet. We haven't seen anything for Call of Duty Online just yet. So maybe they're doing a historic thing to where they're bringing in stuff from like Black Ops and what's the one that recently came out? World War II.
This was kind of mentioned too. We didn't talk about it in the blurb, but it seems like Vanguard, and I think they actually kind of blamed Vanguard a little bit. Like, sales were pretty down. This was a down Call of Duty year. But I don't think they really want to do anything with Vanguard going forward just because of that.
Well, I mean, probably not Vanguard. But like I said, like, they probably want to do, like, some of their old stuff, like Black Ops. And I know World War II, it did all right. It didn't do, like, quote-unquote Call of Duty numbers. But I know...
Well, even by the standards of, like, Vanguard didn't exceed expectations. It didn't do very well. It still did very well compared to other games, because that's just Call of Duty. And when I say like Vanguard underperformed, I mean just in terms of reception, in terms of sales compared to other Call of Duties.
I think Vanguard was like the worst selling Call of Duty in years.
Yeah, which there's a little bit of like, okay, the game, in my opinion, I think this is Vanguard's one of the worst Call of Duties. I do. I think it's pretty bad. That said, I think there is a little bit of the natural, like, okay, 2020, when the pandemic first hit, we talked about this so many times before, Michael, about Among Us, about Fall Guys, and all these games, and gaming as a whole made so much money in 2020. And I think you are starting to see a little bit of a, I don't want to say decline, but just like we're getting back to how it was before then. You know?
Well, Call of Duty has competition now.
Like with?
Call of Duty would dominate online. And it has competition, oddly enough, not from Battlefield, but from, like you said, Fall Guys and...
Oh, you're saying with like Battle Royales. Okay. I was about to say online multiplayer period, like Call of Duty multiplayer. I'm still not sure it has like... Other than, like you mentioned, Battlefield, the Halos, all your other huge multiplayer games. I want to throw Titanfall in there, guys, but Titanfall 3, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Man, so,
they announced a new Titanfall universe game, but it's not Titanfall, so yay.
But it's still, I think Call of Duty is still the king of the castle there.
Oh, no,
it But you are right that. With, like, BRs, it's a whole different ballgame. You still have... Fortnite, you still have Apex, you got PUBG kicking around a little bit there, you got Fall Guys, as hilarious as that sounds, you still got Fall Guys, it's a battle royale game.
Yeah,
you have all those different games, so you're right, they do have competition in regards to like a Warzone too, for sure.
Yeah, and I think we won't see anything for Warzone 2 until like much much closer to launch, so I would say around the end of September, mid-October, I think is when we'll start seeing something for Warzone 2. Because they've been real tight-lipped about the online for that one. And since the game comes out, what, November? They're really
late October.
Oh, is it late October?
Yeah, I think it's late October. Here's a question I got for you. What are your thoughts on the premium content in 2023 being a standalone zombies game? Call of Duty's really gotten, they've gotten in players into this feeling of, oh, we're getting free content in multiplayer and Warzone. Giving paid content for either of those modes, I think, would muddy the waters towards like a standalone zombies experience that isn't as in depth as a Call of Duty mainline game would probably be better.
Yeah, I think this is more of an experiment on their end, because if they are going to start doing the whole, we're going to do Call of Duty every now and again and not as an annualized product, I think they need to test out what they can do for the 1 year that we do know that they'll skip. And if it works out for them, I think we'll see that happen more often, where we get mainline Call of Duty spinoff content, mainline Call of Duty spinoff content. Because Warzone is what they're banking on to continue their live service, because they already mentioned they want to do live service. Is gonna continue their live service, and instead of doing what they did with Warzone 1 and mashing in the new Call of Duty, the new yearly Call of Duty in there and kind of messing up Warzone, I think they're gonna have Warzone as its own thing, and the premium content will kind of go with that. So they're gonna bank on Warzone 2 carrying them through 2023 with no Call of Duty, but also that premium content mixed in to keep player base interested in Call of Duty in general.
And by the way, the Call of Duty Zombies standalone thing, it originally, I believe, came from insider Tom Henderson, who said back in February 2021, and here's a tweet from him, quote, "There is a separate Call of Duty Zombies project in early development that is currently not connected to any title," end quote. And that was, again, in February 2021. So, I don't know.
So that checks out.
Yeah, it would fit perfectly into what Activision's saying here for 2023. It's not something to where I think you're asking your player base to be like, oh, we're not making a mainline Call of Duty, but you have to get this thing. But it's one of those things, especially for Zombies fans, I think would be like, nope, you're going to get your own game in 2023.
Yeah, especially after Vanguard dropped the ball on them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That definitely has an effect on how I feel about the game overall. But, you know, especially with, I think, Treyarch's up next, I think, too. So in 2024, Treyarch having their Call of Duty, potentially, and you have that mini game, I guess, in between Modern Warfare 2 and that. I think it just fits perfectly if that's what it ends up being.
Yeah, hopefully it does work out that way, to be honest, because giving the team extra time to do something a little different could be good for them. Because it took Activision years before they figured out, hey, let's just have, instead of two studios doing a game every other year, let's have three studios to give them like a 2 year gap. And maybe with this, maybe this is the way for them to figure that they can give their teams a 3 year gap instead. Or maybe it's just we're going to skip that year because we're going to move over to the Xbox ecosystem. And this will make things a little easier for us. So who knows?
For whatever reason they're saying, it's happening. I'm just glad it's happening for not only us, like, playing the games and who are wanting, like, actual innovation and better changes, but also, I think, for the developers who, as you, like, they're going to be able to put more time and actually, like, think it through and have better ideas and all this stuff to actually create this content while having to rush to do it because they have annual release, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of competition, and our next story, Sony talks Xbox Activision Blizzard deal, Game Pass, and more. The Xbox Activision Blizzard deal is more complicated than just a massive $68.7 billion price tag. It also has to be approved all over the world by the appropriate regulatory body. This includes Brazil. Brazil's regulatory body reached out to several related companies for their input on the potential acquisition. Companies such as Nintendo, Ubisoft, and even Sony. We're going to be looking at Sony's response, which was first spotted by Reset Era. Since we were just talking about Call of Duty, let's start with Sony's comments about Call of Duty potentially being added to the Xbox Game Pass service. And we wanted to thank BGC for transcribing these quotes. A link to their article is in the description. And here's the quote from Sony. Quote, Call of Duty is so popular that it influences users' choice of console. And its community of loyal users is entrenched enough that even if a competitor had the budget to develop a similar product, it would not be able to rival it. Each annual Call of Duty release takes around 3 to 5 years to develop. As Activision releases one Call of Duty game per year, this equates to an annual investment of hundreds of millions of dollars. Approximately 1,200 people work on each version and another 1,500 are involved in publishing and distribution. Thus, Call of Duty alone has more developers than most game companies employ across its entire development portfolio, including AAA studios. Also, given its plans to recruit 2,000 additional developers by 2021, Activision probably expects Call of Duty to become even more successful in the future. No other developer can devote the same level of resources and expertise in game development. Even if they could do that, Call of Duty is overly entrenched so that no rival, no matter how relevant they are, can catch up. End quote. Sony also talked about Xbox Game Pass, saying it would take several years to create a substantial rival to Game Pass and what the service has captured so far in terms of the global market of subscription services. Which I believe Sony said Microsoft had up to 70% in certain areas. So that's actually interesting to hear.
I think it was 60-70.
60-70, something like that. Yeah. So with that said, Taylor, what do you make of Sony's comments?
At first, without knowing the context, I was like, why is Sony, like, what the hell are they talking about? Why now? And then I realized, oh, okay, so they were asked their opinion on this because this has to be approved. I've seen some people be like, oh, well, it's definitely 100% going to get approved. No worries. Like, no, this definitely, it has a chance to where it doesn't get approved. It really does. So this has to be approved by multiple bodies here across the globe. So I'm not really too shocked by anything Sony's saying here. They really talked about Call of Duty, and it really seems like they're just trying to already get ahead of the fact that, hey, whenever, if this whole thing gets approved and Call of Duty ends up in Xbox's hands, we're not the bad guys here. We want the game to be on our platform, but if it goes to Game Pass, it tips the scales a little bit, we're just saying. So, I don't know, it's just...
Look, I get where Sony's...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I see where Sony's coming from. There's a reason they spent, I'm sure, millions of dollars for the past few years to have Call of Duty release exclusive modes on PlayStation 4 first. Remember when they had their Mercenaries, their Spec Ops, my bad. When they had their Spec Ops mode come exclusively to PlayStation 4 for like a year, that really rubbed people the wrong way. But it did get people like me, who usually buys Call of Duty on Xbox, to buy the PlayStation 4 version just so you can get the full package, like, right away. So you get Spec Ops like you knew you should have had, but Xbox players had to wait a year. And by then, the new Call of Duty was coming out, so nobody cared about Spec Ops on Xbox. So Sony knows for a fact that Call of Duty is so powerful, such a popular IP, that people will sway towards one console or another. Remember back in the PS3 360 days, Microsoft had a somewhat similar deal with Activision for Call of Duty's DLC for their map packs, that they would come first to Xbox for a short limited time, for like a month or two or a few, for like a month or two. And that got people to play the Xbox version the most, despite the point that at the time, crossplay wasn't really a thing. But the point that I get DLC first on this console was a big thing for everybody, because they want more Call of Duty. They want more maps. They wanted more stuff to do with their friends. And Sony took that
into the
Xbox One PS4 days. What's up?
I was saying, you want it first. That was the big thing. And to kind of like you talked about Spec Ops before. That deal across when Xbox had it, then PlayStation, it's evolved to where, like, I remember, I think it was Black Ops 3, PlayStation, I think, got the maps first, like, for a month, the zombies maps. And this most recent Black Ops Cold War, the most recent title, it wasn't that way. It was, you got something else. It was, what was it, Onslaught or something like that, some mode that they got instead. That, yeah, so the deal's evolved over time.
Yeah, so I see where Sony's coming from. If Microsoft, if Xbox throws Call of Duty, especially the new Call of Duties, on Game Pass, I'm sorry, but you're going to have a lot more people subscribe to Game Pass or a lot more people buying Xbox
just for a one-time fee. A one-time per month fee.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of them probably won't even do that. They probably do the yearly subscription. Yeah. Just so they can do it either on PC or Xbox, so they can do it with their, they can play with their friends on either Xbox or PC. Now that everything's cross-platform now with Call of Duty, they can just be like, oh, I just buy Madden Call of Duty every year. I can just get Game Pass, buy Call of Duty. I mean, buy Madden, even play the old Maddens on Game Pass, and every year I get Call of Duty. Not only that, but I got multiple Call of Duties. For this annual subscription for like $120 a year, I get all the Call of Duties. Why would you not want that? And I know that's what Sony is thinking. It's like, no, people are gonna want that. They're gonna want to subscribe to Game Pass, where they're gonna want to go to Xbox for Call of Duty.
I would want that as a Call of Duty player. I would love to be like, oh, just it's gonna pop up on Game Pass and all the games are there. Like that'd be fucking awesome. I would love that.
Yeah, me too. And to be honest, if Vanguard and World War II were on Game Pass, I would have actually played them. And I think Activision knows that, especially after the way Vanguard kind of didn't do well. I'm not going to say it bombed, but I mean, because like you mentioned earlier, it wasn't doing the numbers of like Call of Duty used to do. But like, if you do that, yeah, PlayStation players are still going to pay for the game on PlayStation. So you're still making that money. It's not going exclusive to Xbox. Microsoft is going to keep it open. They're going to keep it on other consoles so they can keep making that money. Because Call of Duty's special editions, they sell. And Xbox is not going to give up $120 because we want to put it on Game Pass. You're going to get the $60 version on Game Pass. And if you want more, then yeah, you would use your Game Pass membership to get a discount on that $120 version of the game, while PlayStation is paying the full $120 for their special edition. So it benefits the Xbox players the most. Sony knows that, and they know, oh, I can get Call of Duty, the same Call of Duty on PlayStation, on Game Pass, and if I want the special editions, I can get it for a cheaper price because I have Game Pass. And a lot of people are going to have their decision swayed towards Xbox because now they get all the Call of Duty, and not just a couple of the Call of Duties.
Yeah, and again, like you mentioned, Michael, I don't blame Sony at all for saying really anything they said. I kind of disagree with them on the sake of Game Pass. We don't have it in the blurb, but it was kind of mentioned that, like, long term, it seems like the quality of games are going to go down, and basically just trying to be like, well, you know, take years to get Game Pass, arrival to Game Pass, and all that stuff. Kind of disagree with that. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm being short-sighted. I'm just looking at it like it's saving me money now, and you're getting a lot of really good games on it. Like, that's really what it's coming down to for that. Whenever it comes to, like, Call of Duty and stuff, yeah, it's not going to be. We talked about this ever since the deal went down. It's not going to be exclusive to Xbox, period. It's going to be on PlayStation. I don't freak out there. For me, I'm looking at this whole, all these comments by Sony and going like, look, I understand why you feel that way. Nothing, no disrespect whatsoever. I hate these console wars and all this stuff with Xbox and PlayStation. I love both. That said, I wish Sony would kind of take a look at themselves and be like, okay, we just launched this new PlayStation Plus thing. But we can't compete with Game Pass. Okay, well, put your first party games on there. like God of War Ragnarok. We can't do that because it would ruin the entire. Yeah, that's the reason they don't want to give that up, but they want the success of Game Pass. But to have the success of Game Pass, you have to give that up. You know, that's what it's missing. Like,
I mean, Halo is Xbox's biggest IP, and they put it on Game Pass day one. They're like, no, you're gonna get all our first party stuff. Like, they've been completely open about that since day one. All of our games that we publish come to Xbox, and when they start buying, when they started getting more studios, everyone's like, "Ooh, wait, yeah, Game Pass is really cool." Sony, what are you gonna do? Oh, we're gonna put old PlayStation games on our super expensive premium, which actually costs pretty much the same amount as Game Pass.
Like, yeah, now, to be fair, the PlayStation Plus, or what is it? It is PlayStation Plus still, right?
It's Essential.
Oh, okay. PlayStation Essential or whatever tiers it is, there's still games like Returnal on there. Recent enough games. I'm talking about upcoming games like a God of War 2, or God of War Ragnarok, a Marvel Spider-Man 2. These games, where Xbox would release Halo Infinite on Game Pass, that big title that you can talk about the varying degrees of the success of that game all you want, but it's a big title for Xbox. They released it on Game Pass. For Sony to create that competitor to Game Pass, I think you gotta start putting those first party games on there. You just got to. Like, it's, if Game Pass, these subscription service things are gonna fail, fine, sure. But sitting here and being like, we can't create a rival to them, and then still sitting there and being like, well, we're not gonna put God of War Ragnarok on PlayStation Plus. Can't do that. It's just ridiculous a little bit. Like, because that's how they're going to create that rival, is to do that. That would be interesting, yeah, man.
It would be if Sony and Nintendo actually follow suit of games. I'm not going to say Nintendo. Nintendo does their own thing. They know their player base.
Nintendo does their own thing. I think at some point we just got to accept that, for better or worse. Nintendo's just going to do their own thing, regardless if it's great or if it still feels like they're 10 years behind everybody else.
Yeah, but with everybody doing their own subscription service, like Amazon's Luna, Stadia, even Ubisoft with Ubisoft Plus, you're going to see more competition. And with a lot of these companies looking at Game Pass, like, oh, snaps, not only is Microsoft going to pay us, we're going to make Xbox money. Not only are we going to be on their console, but I can recoup some of my budget just for going to Game Pass. And I think that's going to be the hardest part of PlayStation Premium and Extra. You're going to need more than just Stray. I'm sorry, but when Xbox released Game Pass, they were throwing out games left to right. Sony needs to do more than just release Stray on their higher tier subscription, especially since PlayStation Plus Essential is still giving you 3 games a month, and they're a lot better than what Gold has done. And I'm afraid that might take a turn for the worse pretty soon. But yeah, I see no reason. Like, I still have like 110 days left on my subscription, PlayStation Plus subscription service. And for like $20, I can get premium. And I still have no desire to get it because I don't really care about playing the old PlayStation games over there, because I want to collect those games instead. It's really weird. But Sony is just scared that the Xbox is getting Activision Blizzard, will push their competitor even further ahead of themselves, and now they have to do even more to do what Xbox is doing, because this is PlayStation's first time doing the subscription service. This is their first year, and to have the competitor this far ahead of the game is going to be ridiculous for them to catch up.
Which is why I look at something like the Bungie acquisition by Sony as such a good get for them, because
but they only did it for a live service.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. It's still Bungie. Bungie, one of the most legendary developers for what they've done with Halo and Destiny. I think that they can really help out with multiplayer games, with live service games, stuff that I think would get people to get a Game Pass like subscription if you put it on their service and keep people playing. You know what I mean? I think yeah. that's what Sony really needs right now is to like, I know they were asked this. This is why, again, it, I feel weird saying like, worry about yourself when they were asked about their opinion on the deal with Microsoft and Activision Blizzard. Yeah. And I don't blame them for anything that they said about it. Because I would say the same fucking thing if I was yep. in their position. That being said, part of me is still like, all right, you guys are doing great. Just keep doing, worry about you. You got Bungie, you just start making multiplayer games, start making some live service games. You got single player games locked down.
I'm sorry, man, you say that, but with Microsoft recently buying Bethesda, now Activision Blizzard, I mean, both those companies have like huge.
Oh no, I can also see IPs. Like you say that, I can hear an argument for somebody being like, yeah, this deal should get revoked with Activision Blizzard and Microsoft.
To be honest, I don't think it should be revoked because...
Oh, I don't think it should, but I'm biased as fuck. I'm an Xbox yeah. player who wants to play Call of Duty on Game Pass. Don't believe anything I say about that. But I would at least understand the opinion of like, okay, this is too much. They got Bethesda. They got all these games from Activision Blizzard. We can't be doing this now.
Oh, I mean, at least, hey, man, at least you're honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I am, but at the same time, again, I just look at PlayStation being like, you got single players on lock.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm completely okay with Microsoft grabbing up Activision Blizzard, because I want Sony to compete even harder. I want these companies to go at each other's throats so that way I benefit.
Yeah, like you see Killzone. Like Killzone, to me, was the last time Sony really gave a fuck about multiplayer. And I don't think it worked out. I don't think it worked out, and I'm probably wrong about this, but I just get the feeling Sony's been kind of scared to dip back into that market ever since.
Oh, they definitely are. Yeah, they definitely are. I'm surprised The Last of Us is getting multiplayer mode. Actually, before we move on to our next story, Killzone Mercenaries on the PS Vita, the online service for that multiplayer is going offline this year, too.
Hmm. But speaking of competition, let's talk about the first competitions WWE's had since WCW.
Oh man, yes. The one story that I know Taylor is looking forward to talk about. AEW Fight Forever details have emerged. It's not news that AEW, otherwise known as All Elite Wrestling, is developing a video game. It's been in development for a while now, but we finally have details about the game from match type to its creation suite. First off, AEW Fight Forever's gameplay plans to harken back to the arcadey days of WWE's No Mercy. Oh, snaps. I'm sorry. I didn't read that part till now. Ooh. Now I'm interested.
That's what I was saying at the beginning of the show, man.
Oh, man. Yooks, who were longtime WWE game developers until parting ways a few years ago, are developing AEW Fight Forever, and the game is being published by THQ Nordic. That is a hell of a combination. In terms of match types, players can play in single matches, tag team matches, three-way matches, four-way matches, ladder matches, casino battle royale, an unsanctioned lights out match, and an exploding barbed wire death match. My goodness. The game will have online co-op support, arcade mini games, and creation suites, including Create a Wrestler, custom arenas, custom movesets, and more. There will be more shown. More shown off about the game on August 12th when the THQ Nordic showcase goes down. AEW Fight Forever will be released on Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, PS4, PS5, PC, and the Nintendo Switch. Taylor, I don't even need to ask you this, but what are your thoughts on this game so far? I know we don't have a ton of gameplay to go on, but I know you're still excited about this one.
I am. I know visually this game doesn't look as good as WWE 2K. And I'm one of those crazy people who tries to just enjoy things and not be like, you gotta pick a side. But I kind of love the fact that right now, like, WWE 2K, they're going more arcadey and it's working and it looks visually awesome. And you have something like AEW Fight Forever here that, from the brief gameplay we've seen, it really does kind of come across as like, oh, so they're really like No Mercy. It's gonna be kind of crazy. Like, I was seeing, there was like a brief clip to where they're hyping up the THQ Nordic showcase, and they were showing like a little brief clip of gameplay. And Adam Cole, one of the wrestlers on there, got a trash can over his head. Like, he got hit with a trash can. The trash can remained on, and he was just walking around. And I could just foresee a lot of funny gameplay moments happening from that one instance. The mini games themselves, too, you only see like 2 seconds of that. I got really Mario Party vibes from them, which is weird to say in a wrestling game. But to me, it's also about like the creation suite, how good that's going to be, how good it seems like co-op's kind of a big deal for them, especially considering the AEW period is really big in the tag team wrestling. So I'm curious to see what that means. But pretty much, I'm of the mindset that this looks really fun. I do have to overlook the fact that the visuals aren't up to, like, it doesn't look fantastic from a visual standpoint. But other than that, loving a lot of what I'm seeing about this game. And plus, to be fair, this is the first game they've made.
All right. See, I am okay with it looking kind of not as good as the 2K series because it is doing the arcadey thing. So,
and it's also 2K. Like, it's 2K compared to THQ Nordic and Yuke's. Like, there is a difference there.
There is. There's a pretty big difference. But I'm not going to harp on this too much because, unfortunately, I am not an AEW fan. But the idea of going back to the fun arcadey days of wrestling is something I'm definitely interested in. And unfortunately, I'm sure you would like to do a quick podcast on the 12th about the showcase, because I know you want to talk about this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do a podcast episode by itself. I mean, I don't think there's going to be enough worth an entire episode of recording and editing and posting.
Well, I mean, THQ is publishing a few things, so I'm sure the showcase would be interesting at the very least. But it is good to see that it is coming to last gen systems and current gen system as well. I legit thought it was going to say the PS4, PS5, PC, and Stadia. I don't know why. I don't know why I thought Stadia before the Switch, but I did.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked too. It's going to be on last gen. I know they probably want this game into many hands as possible because it's a 3-year-old company that is doing, in my opinion, very well so far. But it's one of those things where you go into, okay, how do you grow a brand? I think creating a great video game that a lot of people can get their hands on and be like, oh, I really like this. Who's this John Moxley guy? Oh, he's freaking awesome. He's fun to play as in AEW Fight Forever. I'm going to go check out some clips on YouTube with him.
Yeah, and a lot of younger players who are getting into wrestling at AEW, they're definitely going to use this as a way to learn more about it and find their favorite wrestler. Because let's face it, people are still having a hard time getting their hands on a PS5. A Series S, we can get our hands on easily.
Yeah.
PS5, not so much.
So having that in the previous gen is a really good call. It probably would have been probably a little easier if they just went next gen.
Yeah.
Only, but.
Yeah, but I think it really is a smart move to still have the Xbox One and PS4 consoles involved.
Just do me a favor. Never look up the ending to the one and only exploding barbed wire death match in AEW history. The match was great. Ending, it didn't live up to the name. I'll say that.
Ouch. Nobody died, so it didn't live up to the match.
I mean, there was some pyrotechnic difficulties. So instead of some awesome fireworks and it looking like the ring exploding, it would look like a bunch of firecrackers. And the wrestlers inside the ring who were trying to sell it, they didn't know that it was fucked up. So
I'm looking it up now. Once we're done with this podcast, I'm looking that up. All right, but moving on to our main topic. WB Montreal reveals the first 16 minutes of gameplay for Gotham Knights. WB Montreal, via an IGN first showcase, revealed the first 16 minutes of gameplay for Gotham Knights. The demo focuses on Batgirl as she investigates the murder of Dr. Kirk Langstrom. Some Batman comic fans and Arkham Knight players may recognize that name because he is the alter ego of Batman villain Man-Bat. Another IGN article went into detail on how customization works in Gotham Knights, including showing off 28 suit designs. Be sure to check out the IGN first article in the description of this episode. But before I turn it over to Taylor for his thoughts on all this, here's an excerpt from the IGN article detailing the two types of gear in the game and what that means for customization. Quote from the article: "First, it's important to realize that Gotham Knights makes a distinction between suit styles, suits that come with cosmetics and stat changes, and transmogs, suits that are purely cosmetic and applied like skin. We're showing off 6 sets of style suits and 1 transmog set in the gallery above. There will be 11 different suit styles set in Gotham Knights at launch, making up 44 individual suits in total, not including transmog. Warner Bros. Has reiterated that there will be no microtransactions in the game, although the Beyond and Nightwatch sets are currently tied to the Deluxe and Collector's Edition of the game. Key to the philosophy around all of these sets is that while elements of their look can be customized, you can't mix or match pieces between suits," end quote. Taylor, what are your thoughts on the gameplay demo that we saw and how customization is going to work?
What you want to start with, Michael, the customization or the demo? I feel like we can get more out of the demo.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get more out of the demo that we both watched. So let's go with the suits. What are your thoughts on the 28 suits that equates up to 44 different suits?
I like it, but I want to see how it works in practice, you know? To where I want to actually get my hands on and be like, all right, okay, so I can actually change, like, the minuscule changes on a suit. What is it called? They have a specific name for it. Suit styles. So I want to see what those minute changes are to these suits and what the overall... Like, it seems like there's a lot of suits in the game for all your characters, which is really cool. That's what it should be. Marvel's Spider-Man, I think, is the ideal way to look at it.
Man, you know, that's what everybody's going to end up doing. They're going to compare it to the way it's on that game to Spider-Man.
And what people don't want it to be is Marvel's Avengers, which is why I believe the no microtransactions was in there. So, glad that was said. But I think when you put gear into a game, it's also, you're playing that, you're that fine line between you want your suits to look cool, but you also want it to feel like the gear you're getting, not only is it going to affect your stats, but it also affects the look of your character. So you're building a way to like, okay, my character's going to look how I want him to look, and it's going to look how I want him to play. So it's that fine line you're going with here. So I'm curious to see how that plays off for WB Montreal. It's interesting. It's better than what I thought it would be. I'll say that. Because a few months ago, we got a gameplay demo. We got like a brief look at it. And I was just not feeling it. The customization or anything. So, and I kind of feel the same about the gameplay going into that. But real quick, before we get into the gameplay, I want to hear your thoughts on the customization.
So many suits actually look pretty badass. I kind of like the way year one suit style looks. I'm definitely loving Shinobi style. The Shinobi suit style looks really cool, even though it's just concept art. I'm surprised they didn't put either Eternal or the Shinobi as part of the special edition. Because, like, if you put the Shinobi as a special edition, I'm sorry, but you would have gotten more sales. Because they look pretty damn awesome. Especially Robin.
What did you said the Shinobi. Robin. Yeah, Robin looks really fucking cool.
Robin looks cool as fuck. And Batgirl looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And your boy Red Hood, I think you mentioned before, looks like a fucking tank.
Yeah. We were talking before this podcast, and I was like, they went with a design choice for Red Hood, and that was making him a tank. Like, he used to be a Robin. I want to know what he looked like as Robin.
This dude just eats nothing but creatine.
That said, Michael, going into the gameplay demo, I've been the contrarian here. I've been the contrarian between you and Riley. You both have been more on board with this game than I have. I kind of think it's kind of looked bad. This is the best gameplay demo I've seen from them. What do you think?
I'm sorry if you all didn't just hear me yawn just a second ago. This was somehow the worst thing they could have shown. Well, I don't want to say the worst thing, but this is one of the worst things they could have shown. They could have shown.
Are you doing this on purpose?
I'm not doing this on purpose. I watched the 16-minute demo just like you, and oh my goodness, it just looks so subpar.
I've turned around on it. What happened?
Because I was being forgiving. I was like, okay, we've only seen like a small touch. I want to wait until they show off like the actual gameplay, like the full blown deal. I was like, hey, they obviously showing some of the combat. They're showing that, hey, we're in a comfortable spot. You remember Arkham Knight? It's going to be like that. We carry the name for a reason. The combat is going to be just like you had before, but we're going to add a few new things with the powers and the abilities and the suits. I was like, okay, I'm going to wait for them to truly show off this game, because unlike some gamers, I'm not going to judge a game from their teaser gameplay alpha nonsense. I'm going to wait until you show me something of significant worth. And this was their trailer of significant worth. And now, oh my goodness, I kind of wish I was with you that first time that they showed it off. And maybe then this time I would have been a little more forgiving, because this was boring. This was lame. This was mid as fuck. The combat does look kind of meh. I mean, they do less of the slip and slide that they had in the first demo that they showed. I did like that they put more emphasis on investigation. In the demo, they showed Batgirl taking her sweet ass time investigating things and actually connecting clues, which I was like, oh, that's going to be kind of interesting. That's going to be fun. I don't know how it's going to be with Red Hood, because I'm pretty sure he just breaks some shit and be like, yeah, I discovered this. But I think it would be kind of cool and fun to do that. Although I do also wonder how that's going to work in co-op. Are you both going to be able to connect clues? Is it going to be like a one person thing? I don't know. They try to show off some stealth, but it didn't look as good as Arkham Knight, which is really weird. I don't know. They were trying to show off a few things, and it all just looked kind of meh. Oh man, this it feels like they watered down the Arkham series.
See, I got that vibe from the earlier gameplay demos that they've shown with Red Hood, Nightwing, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I get what you're saying. And I somewhat agree that it seems a little bit watered down from the Arkham series. It doesn't seem like there's a counter, like a definite counter, to where the Arkham series had, to where you can just go in this free-flowing, smooth-as-hell combat that Arkham is known for. Keep in mind, too, that this is WB Montreal, who made Arkham Origins. It's not that massive of a, like, oh my god, Arkham Origins is so much different, but it's not Arkham Knight or Arkham City and Asylum. That was all Rocksteady. So, just a little bit to like clear the air there. That said, I still feel like this is a little bit of a too much of a Far Cry gameplay wise still. I'll get to the positives, and this again is far more promising of a gameplay demo than anything I've seen from this game so far. And I'm also including the suits and everything there, too. So this is the most hyped I've been for the game. Surprisingly, Michael's the other way around. But this is the most hyped I've been for the game since the announcement. When we get to the pure gameplay, there's just something a little off about it. And you look at the Arkham thing, and like I said, how smooth it is. I look at why they made these changes, and I'm still asking myself why. Because
of the co-op.
Don't know why you would have to do that because of co-op. I would like somebody to explain that to me. Whether it be you or anybody listening who could let me know. I don't understand why they would have to change the gameplay that much. Because to me, it comes across as like a, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of situation with Arkham Combat.
Yeah, I do know a little bit that, not from this game, from other games, that when you start introducing like co-op and multiplayer sides, there tends to be gameplay issues, because the Arkham games were always built on one person against a mob, one Batman, which made open world a little easier, which makes moving around a little easier, because when you do co-op, now you have to worry about two players colliding into each other, you have to worry about them running across each other, you have to worry about AI choosing which player they're going to go after, yada, yada, yada. So I guess taking away some of the stuff from the Arkham series, gameplay-wise, made things a little easier for them. I'm not 100% sure. You know, this
means I think by doing that, guesses. It takes the gameplay. Like, no matter what the reason is, for them to go away from the Arkham Origins gameplay, which is it's mostly just the Arkham gameplay you're used to. It's what also something like Spider-Man takes cues from. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's a fun type of gameplay. No, it's what people in superhero genre, what they strive for, is the Arkham combat. So I'm like, why change, though? Because I think what it turns to is, like, whenever I'm looking at the combat here with Batgirl, it looks still fun, but not to the level of, like, an Arkham game. It looks like you're taking away what made the Arkham game special. It's not as smooth, slower. You don't have that counter. Yeah, you're taking away the thing that I think makes it fun every time you go into a combat sequence in Arkham. Whereas, now, granted, to be fair, we are seeing one little gameplay sequence and not so many combat sequences in general in this 16-minute gameplay overview. But at the same time, I don't see it changing too much there. So what it's going to come down to for me is how these four characters played differently. Did they rework Red Hood? Because that was a complaint with that Red Hood demo.
Yeah, no, people, you really hated the magic powers. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the magic powers. I'm curious if they changed up Red Hood. I'm curious if they changed up Robin or Nightwing to make all four characters feel distinct from each other. There is one, like, really cool aspect to this. So, first off, I would be really surprised if throughout this story we do not see a Man-Bat. Because I highly doubt that Kirk Langstrom is actually dead. Because that's a random way to kill off a Batman villain. Going into what I thought was cool about the gameplay, the investigation stuff, that's got me intrigued. Because while the combat doesn't look inspired, the investigation stuff does. Like, it's not just seemingly tap triangle or Y and then you see it lit up for you. You actually have to look at things and figure it out, and that looks pretty cool to me.
Yeah, I do like the investigation aspect, but again, I want to see how that affects co-op, because like we mentioned earlier, you have to scale things back sometimes when you do co-op and multiplayer. But I want to see how it affects co-op. Like, does one person do an investigation and the other one waits, or can you both do different parts of the investigation? Because in the Arkham series, the investigation was kind of like a puzzle. So I'm kind
of to varying degrees of success. I'm not trying to shit on the Arkham series for its puzzle and stuff.
Not all of it worked.
Yeah, but not all of it was terrible either. Like, there were some investigations you did that was, like, just really cool. Like, finding out about the Hush Killer throughout the entirety of Arkham City is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to work it into co-op. And they didn't show that in this gameplay demo. Maybe before the game comes out, we'll get a co-op trailer. Maybe that'd be the next IGN first. Maybe they'll show Gotham Knight co-op nonsense.
I can see. This might be me being hopeful, but, or at least more optimistic. But do you see co-op flowing better than just playing solo? I'm talking about in terms of combat. Like, if this was a co-op showcase, and they actually did revamp some stuff with the combat mechanics, could you see, like, you feeling better about the combat overall?
Yes, and I think that's what it is. I think, like I said, the gameplay show here was kind of mid, and I guess I wasn't really hoping for more, but I guess deep down, without knowing, I was kind of hoping for more. So yeah, if they did something like that, I think I'd be a little more hopeful. But from what they showed, the 16 minutes, I feel like I was duped. I was doing like Riley. I was trying to be optimistic about something. I was like, oh boy, I can't wait for this. And this is not a dig at Riley. This is just me making fun of myself for not thinking that, hey, this is a warning sign. I've tried being optimistic. But yeah, if they do something like that, I think it'll help sway my decisions to something a little more positive.
Yeah. So they still have a few months here to show some stuff off before release. So that's good.
Oh, man. All right. Let's go ahead and hit the snooze button on this one. Don't forget to join our Discord. That is the best way for you to reach out to us, for now at least, while we're still working on a few things behind the scene. You can talk to me, Taylor, and of course you can talk to all the other members on the NerdStash team. And also, please leave us a rating. It will help us out tremendously, and it helps more people who are interested it will help more people who are interested in the stuff that we talk about to discover us. And of course, check out NerdStash.com, where you will find all kinds of fun articles, guides, and you will even find helpful reviews. All right. So, Taylor, thank you for joining me as always. And everyone who listened in, whether this is your first time or your 600th time, thank you for listening in to our rambles. And we hope you tell your friends about us so they can listen too. The more the merrier. And we will be back next week with more gaming news.